This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much, so many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Friday, December 4th, 2020. This is episode 119 of the Conscious Resistance Live, which is my weekly podcast live show that I do here. We're currently live across Facebook on Freethinker Radio, Houston Freethinkers, the Conscious Resistance, the Derek Bros page, Wake Up News. We're also live on DLive and Float. If anybody wants to jump off Facebook, go check us out at DLive.tv/Conscious Resistance. And we are also live on our own website at theconsciousresistance.com/live. So if you want to check us out on any of those places, we appreciate that. And before I go any further, I always got to remind you guys to bookmark and check out my website, which is theconsciousresistance.com. In case you're new here, somehow you're stumbling across this broadcast tonight, I invite you to check out theconsciousresistance.com, theconsciousresistance.com. You can find out more about what is the Conscious Resistance? What is that idea? What is that movement? What does that mean? You can also look into my books. You can check out my documentaries, all of our documentaries on 5G, on the Finders, on Jeffrey Epstein, plenty of other things. You can find our various podcasts, including my podcast that I co-host, Freethinker Radio, John Bush, Live Free Now, Danny and Vanessa with Sovereign Love Stream, and all kinds of cool stuff. So please check us out at theconsciousresistance.com. And as always, if you visit the website, you're going to see this post, The Conscious Resistance Live 119, We Were Born for This Moment is the title of today's episode. And everything we're going to cover today is going to be right here on this this link here. So everything I'll be covering over the next hour to hour and a half, these news stories will be listed there for you guys if you want to check that out. So let's get right into it. Thank you guys again for being here. One more time, I will give you the opportunity, dlive.tv/conscious resistance, float as in F-L-O-T-E dot app, A-P-P slash conscious resistance. Go ahead, try one of these platforms out. If you like Facebook style thing, you might like float because you have statuses, you can post pictures, you can post videos, you can post things like that. So give it a shot. And I appreciate everybody who's watching right now on DLive. Shout out to my brother Tripp for watching. Thank you for tuning in with me tonight, man. Got some important stuff to cover. And thanks to James from London, UK, checking in. We got Claudia in Miami Beach, Nina from Ohio. Shout out to all of you guys. Appreciate everybody who's tuned in, everybody on DLive, Float, and Facebook. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. First things I want to cover, just a couple of, I guess, personal notes that I would like to bring to your attention, if I may. My new books, I've mentioned this a couple times in the last few weeks, my new books are out. Most recently, I wrote a book called How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, which is very relevant to everything we're dealing with in the world today. And it's only become more relevant with COVID and everything COVID related. So you can find this book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. You can find it on theconsciousresistance.com, the English version. You can download the PDF for free. You can order it on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon. But I'm happy to say that now it is in Spanish, in Espanol. So that's pretty cool. ¿Cómo salir voluntariamente del estado tecnocrático? How to voluntarily exit the technocratic state, inspired by the work of Samuel Conkin. So it's really cool. I'm excited to get a copy of my own book in Spanish and hold this and spread this in bookstores here in Mexico where I'm at. If you know friends in Spain or just anywhere in the Spanish-speaking world, I would love to help get these ideas out there. And as I said, it's already available in English. So if you want to look up how to opt out of the technocratic state, you go to theconsciousresistance.com/how-to, just /how-to, and or just go check out the books tab. You can find the English version. You can download the PDF of the English version. And if you want to order a physical copy, you can. And now you can tell your Spanish friends they can get it in Spanish. And then secondly, my most recent book, which is an update of my three books that I did an interview with my buddy John Vibes the other day. We talked about this. I recommend go checking out that on the website if you haven't. You want to learn more about what this whole thing covers. But I'm just excited because we've been working on this for a while and just trying to, we started writing the Conscious Resistance books in 2015. Then 2016, 2017 is when all three books were released. And now it's been 5 years. And so we decided, you know what, let's revisit these books. Let's see what we want to add to it, how we can update, how we can make them better, things of that sort. And I think we definitely did make them better. We being me and my co-author, John Vibes, who wrote this book together. So yeah, I'm excited and I hope you guys will check it out. You can find it on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, of course. And you can also get it at your local bookstores. And one little last note on that, let me show you this. Somebody actually already got the book. People are getting the book before I've even had it myself. I haven't even got a chance to hold my own book. That's a little weird. I can't wait. I'm excited to be able to hold it. But this is what it looks like. Somebody sent me this picture. Very cool. See somebody holding your own book. Excited to hold my own book. All right. So let's move on now. The next update that I have before we get into tonight's news, we're going to be covering lots of COVID updates. Of course, I have some surveillance updates that you need to know about in the first half hour. And then, of course, as always, at the end of the show, we're going to be talking about solutions. I'm going to tell you guys more about the Underground Railroad, about the Freedom Cell Network, and about the Greater Reset, the People's Reset, the Greater Reset. So we're going to talk all about that in the second half of the show. So please stay tuned because, you know, we got to get into the solutions. Can't just leave people only talking about the insanity in the world. So I've been working on my documentary, The Pyramid of Power. It's actually a 13-part documentary series. We did some crowdfunding for this last summer, and I'm really excited. We were able to raise a few thousand dollars and get the support for this documentary. And it's going to be, I originally was planning on doing a 10 part, but now I realize it has to be 13 parts and I'm going to try not to add more because it's already taking me way too long, but it's basically going to be a deep investigation, not a conspiracy documentary, but a true crime investigation documentary saying, hey, I'm a journalist and I've been researching these topics for a long time. And people believe there's some global conspiracy to control and manipulate things. Let's take an objective look at this. So each chapter, each episode is going to be 20 to 22 minutes long. And the first one looks at the education system. The second one I've just been working on is focused on the media, and it's going to go through the banking system, all these different pieces of the puzzle showing clear evidence that there does exist this sort of network, and hopefully providing new material for those of you who have never heard about these ideas. So with that in mind, some of you I know haven't actually seen the trailer for this documentary. So before we get into the news, I'm going to go ahead and show you the trailer for my upcoming 13-part documentary series called The Pyramid of Power. Check this out. I'll be right back.
Public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
The world of 2020 is rife with chaos. The people are overwhelmed with fears of pandemics, frustrations with institutional racism, the blunt reality of police violence, and calls for revolution. These calls grow louder with every day that passes, and with every new act of violence, the people grow impatient. It is at this vital juncture that we must question the narratives being fed to us. If one examines the current paradigm, armed with critical thinking, an understanding of historical geopolitics, and a healthy skepticism of power, media, and other official authorities, they may walk away with a deeper understanding of our predicament. Are we allowing the chaos to divide, confuse, and control us? Is there more to the equation than we are being shown on the television and social media? Are the presidents, prime ministers, kings, and queens the true source of our ills? Or are these figureheads merely symbols meant to distract us from those who truly benefit from a great reset of our world? The Conscious Resistance Network presents a brand new documentary series which will expose the various systems and individuals which hold the true power. We aim to expose those who have laid the foundation and continue to build the Pyramid of Power. Coming soon from the Conscious Resistance Network.
All right, that's the Pyramid of Power trailer right there. I'm excited about that, and I hope you guys will be excited about that too. It's not going to get out probably till late January. I'm trying to work on it as quickly as possible, but it takes time to put all this research together and for me to write it and then record it. Tonight I'm recording the audio for chapter 2, then I send it over to my editor and he does amazing job, like the video you just saw. So if you want to check that out, you can look on our website, look under the documentaries, you can see, learn more about the Pyramid of Power documentary series. Let's jump right into the news now. One more time, if you want to follow along with the stories, visit theconsciousresistance.com. Check out the link for the Conscious Resistance Live 119, We Were Born for This Moment, and everything that I'm going to be covering tonight, you will find here. So I have a couple of stories related to the ongoing kind of reality that the media is ruled by the ruling class and is interconnected with the ruling class and the intelligence agencies. I wanted to touch on this because, as I said, I've been writing about this for chapter 2 of the Pyramid of Power documentary series. It's called Establishment Media. So I'm writing about how the corporate control of media, how it's gone down to five corporations, you know, over the last 100 years or so. and how various billionaires own and influence and manipulate the media. And that's one level of it. And then like Noam Chomsky talking about manufacturing consent and media as propaganda. But then there's also the deeper level of things like the infiltration of the media by the CIA, the NSA, that's been happening since at least the 40s, the 50s, 60s. Now they claim they stopped it in 1973, but we know that that's a lie. And the reality is that there are probably many mainstream journalists that are in front of television and radio and other large audiences that are actually pulling double duty and are either people who started out as agents of the CIA or were eventually hired by the CIA to, you know, serve their country and, you know, basically play a dual role. And I'm showing on screen right now for those who are watching a video I did in November 2018 called Ruling Class Journalists. And it's on the website. I encourage you to go check this one out because I just talk about how there was an article written in 1996, I believe, in the Washington Post, which you don't see these kind of articles anymore. And it was literally titled Ruling Class Journalists. And it was one of the former editors of the Washington Post who was warning and just saying how that there is a ruling class in America. And he said the closest to that ruling class would be the Council on Foreign Relations. I think the Council on Foreign Relations obviously plays a major role, but they're not near the top of the pyramid. But his point was there's this ruling class, and he was pointing out all the different people that are connected to the Council on Foreign Relations and saying these people are connected to journalism, connected to this, and how it was creating conflicts of interest. And that was in the 1990s. And as I said, we know for a fact they've been infiltrating media since the 1960s and 70s. And I'm going to play you, I'll play you this clip. I want to talk about this before we show you that the current example of what's going on. I want to show you a little bit more of an example of how we knew that this was going on. So in the 1970s, when the Church Committee, which was chaired by Frank Church, it was called the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Gathering Activities, and Church Committee helped reveal like MKUltra. It helped reveal that the U.S. government was spying on activists. It helped reveal that they had a poison dart gun that was from the shellfish that could make somebody have a heart attack. I mean, there was all these different things that came out of the Church Committee from the 1976. And I'm about to show you a clip of Frank Church, who is discussing some of the elements of what they found with their investigations. Now, he doesn't mention the NSA or the CIA by name. It's almost as if he's afraid. But listen to what he says and listen what he warns about. This is in the 70s, dude. This is late 70s when he's warning that they found, wow, there's a massive spy apparatus that already exists. And if we don't get this under control, you know, it's going to turn really bad. And he was warning this 50 years ago. So just check this clip out real quick. Again, Frank Church, the chairman of the Church Committee in the U.S. Senate, 1976.
Well, Senator, let me follow up by asking, do you think that the CIA and military intelligence agencies and the FBI have used the emergency provisions, both in law and by emergency agency, the Federal Preparedness Agency it's called now, to have contingency plans which threaten the liberty of American citizens?
Mr. Rowan, in due course, the committee will pass judgment on those questions. I'm not going to pre-guess the committee or prematurely attempt to pass judgment on this program. But let me tell you this. In the need to develop a capacity to know what potential enemies are doing, the United States government has perfected a technological capability that enables us to monitor the messages that go through the air. These messages are between ships at sea. They could be between military units in the field. We have a very extensive capability of intercepting messages wherever they may be in the airwaves. Now, that is necessary and important to the United States as we look abroad at enemies or potential enemies. We must know. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. And no American would have any privacy left, such as the capability to monitor everything, telephone conversations, telegrams, it doesn't matter. There would be no place to hide. If this government ever became a tyranny, if a dictator ever took charge in this country, the technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny. And there would be no way to fight back. because the most careful effort to combine together in resistance to the government, no matter how privately it was done, is within the reach of the government to know. Such is the capability of this technology. Now, why is this investigation important? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to see this country ever go across the bridge. I know the capacity that is there to make tyranny total in America. And we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross over that abyss. That's the abyss from which there is no return.
The abyss from which there is no return. I mean, that is a very powerful, just stark warning to hear from, again, that is Frank Church, who is the head of the Church Committee that investigated in 1976 the intelligence community and found out that they were doing MKUltra mind control programs, found out that they were doing all kinds of, infiltrating journalism and using their agents as fake journalists, as well as investigating and infiltrating activist groups. And so much information came out of the Church Committee in 1976. And that was just one piece. So think about that, like how long ago that was, 50 years ago. And they have capacity way beyond that now. Let's get into some of that now, because over the years, my journalism has often focused on digital technology, specifically surveillance technology. It's something that I've spent many years studying and researching, particularly cell phone surveillance technology like Stingrays, cell site simulators. They have new names now, but some of you may remember some of my older reporting on that. I did a video on this a couple weeks ago about how Jackson, Mississippi, the police, they're one of the early police departments, but they're definitely not the only one, that are encouraging the local community to start voluntarily giving the police access to their ring doorbell cameras or other, you know, kind of doorbell cameras, because again, they're claiming that this is going to keep you safe. So give us voluntary access to this. And people, if you have these doorbell cameras, you need to really understand that not only are you putting your privacy at risk, but those doorbell cameras can see your neighbor's house across the street. And, you know, maybe some of you, I've heard people say, oh yeah, I found out somebody was stealing my packages and we caught them through that. Or there's, you know, good uses of this technology. But the fact of the matter is that Amazon owns Ring. That's not a good thing. Amazon already massive data collection. Amazon's also developing a facial recognition tool called Recognition with a K, R-E-K, Recognition, that they're working on selling to police departments. And they're already talking about putting it in police body cameras. So then police are going to be walking around with facial recognition cameras everywhere, basically. And then you have these doorbell cameras. And so it says civil liberties advocates warn that a new surveillance tool will put everybody's household, everyday people's household activities under potential scrutiny by police. And look at this disturbing image for those who are watching, this giant eyeball looking over the city. And again, I'm not going to get too deep into this. I recommend you go back to our previous report about this, about Amazon and Ring are building surveillance networks in neighborhoods. But I wanted to bring this up because I want to hear from more of you. I know that there are a lot of investigators in the audience, people who like to do digging. We're getting more word on this technology and the company. The company's name is ASUS, A-S-U-S. And I've got a little bit of information, but I definitely recommend people looking into them. For those who are activists in your local area, you might want to file open records requests and try to find out if your police department, it's FUSIS, F-U-S-U-S right here. So one of the agencies, the police department in Ocasee, Florida, said it is planning to use the home live stream function as part of a deal with FUSIS approved last month. Other FUSIS clients include police departments in Minneapolis, Rialto, California, who said they are not interested in obtaining real-time video from doorbell cameras yet. Several other agencies have not responded to requests for documents or questions about their arrangements with FUSIS. I'm going to file open records requests to find out if the Houston Police Department, where I'm based in, is using this kind of technology. And I think everybody should. So it's basically live streaming technology, which allows the police to tap into all the different doorbell cameras. And it's a 24-hour panopticon. But in this case, it's the people that are helping create it. Yes, your phones are already tracking you, and they are tracking devices. They were definitely, you know, the original GPS technology, much like the internet, much like Facebook, much like a lot of things that are handed to the people, were developed with help, if not completely, but definitely with help from government funding and from government agencies. So the internet itself, a lot of these tools. So yeah, your phones are definitely capable of being tracking devices with a bunch of cool other accessories added to them. But this thing really disturbs me because I see so many people I enjoy technology. I'm looking at two computers right now. I'm streaming. You know, I use technology for great reasons. But this kind of stuff freaks me out, especially when I see activists and people who I know are aware of what's going on in the world, but they have Google Nest in their house and Amazon Echo. Those guys, those things are listening to you all the time. Your smart Samsung TV, it's listening to you all the time. If you can speak to it, it means it can record you. And they are not just turning on when you say Echo, Amazon, whatever, Alexa, the little Siri thing. It's always listening to you. And so I very much encourage you to rethink how much you're inviting this technocracy. And especially because many of you, I can tell many, many people have started to wake up to the technocracy and what this idea is, as you're seeing contact tracing apps and immunity passports and this whole vision of the elite, the scientific elite dominating our world, people like Bill Gates and other scientists or other experts, you're starting to understand the dangerous side of technology. Well, as a journalist, I've been writing for years about how there have been a number of organizations and experts and scientists warning about the rise of AI and facial recognition cameras and license plate readers and ShotSpotter, the gun detector device that actually is listening to at all times. I mean, these real-time crime centers and the fusion centers and all of this stuff that, again, is this sort of afterbirth of 9/11 is very dangerous. And we are now seeing where it's going. And so many people, maybe even some of you on this audience, didn't question it until recently, and now we are seeing this world come to fruition. I want to point you to one more article on the surveillance before we get into our COVID news for the evening. This is coming from Counterpunch, just published 2 days ago. A new technology will dangerously expand government spying on citizens. And this, again, is another interesting one. Just a reminder, both the Who is Fusus, the article we just covered, that you can find that on the website, and Who is Signal Frame. That is this company we're looking at now. You can find the link to these articles on theconsciousresistance.com. And it says, quote, if you're worried about the capability of government to conduct surveillance of citizens engaged in political assembly and protest, or even just personal activity, then you should be aware that the technological capability of government surveillance is about to expand exponentially. And it says, the U.S. Air Force's research lab has recently signed a contract to test new software of a company called Signal Frame, which is a D.C.-based wireless tech company. The company's software is able to access smartphones and from your phone, jump off to any other wireless or Bluetooth device in the near vicinity. To quote from the article in the Wall Street Journal, the smartphone is used as, quote, a window onto usage of hundreds of millions of computers, routers, fitness trackers, modern automobiles, and other networked devices known collectively as the Internet of Things. And for those of you who've been following my work for a while, and those of you who've seen my documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse, which if you haven't, I recommend you go check it out. This is what I've warned about, the Internet of Things, and then with the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the Great Reset, what they're talking about, the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Humans, us becoming connected to it, not just every device that we are surrounded with being connected to the Internet, but us, our bodies, our minds itself. This is going to increase massively the capability for data gathering, data mining, and for surveillance. And I mean, you really need to pay attention to this, guys. And as I wrote in my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, in many ways, we, the people, you maybe, perhaps, we are all making different decisions about how much technology we allow in our lives. Maybe you yourself are contributing to some of your own enslavement or lack of privacy and eventually lack of liberty by blindly accepting these various technological tools, which do some really cool things and maybe make life easy for us in various ways, but are actually detrimental to us in our privacy as free human beings. It goes on to say your smartphone in effect becomes a government listening device that detects and accesses all nearby wireless or Bluetooth devices, or anything that has a MAC address for that matter. How near is nearby is not revealed by the company or the Air Force, both of which refused to comment on the Wall Street Journal story. But it says, again, with the expansion of 5G wireless, it should be assumed it's more than just a couple of steps from your smartphone. So think about that. 5G is going to be the backbone to the Internet of Things. It's going to allow this low latency, driverless cars. I mean, I've said this a million times in all my 5G videos and my 5G documentary, but this is what many of us have seen is coming. So when you add this world of interconnectivity, doorbell cameras with facial recognition, live stream connecting to police to see everything everywhere, more automated police like robot dogs and robot cops and all these kinds of things. We were talking about that yesterday on Freethinker Radio. Check out that episode if you haven't heard it. And this world that's coming to fruition, this 5G, Internet of Things, digital panopticon, this is what the Great Reset is all about. This is the world that they're trying to push us further and further into. And in many ways, we are welcoming it. We are embracing these tools. If you're using Amazon, you know, to shop or just for the convenience or whatever, then, I mean, you need to think about that. Because for me, agorism, opting out of systems that don't align with our values is not just about opting out of the government and not paying taxes when possible, which is definitely a part of it, but also being wise and thinking holistically about how you make your money, where you're spending your money, what type of money you're using, and what that involves and what that supports. So we need to rethink this. This is why I don't use, you know, I try to limit my use of Google devices and Google search engine. I don't use it. I don't use their browser. And, you know, getting away from all their tools because I don't want to support that company. I can't sit here and talk about we need to get away from the technocracy and build something better while using their systems. At least I don't believe so. I think that that's a little bit hypocritical. Everybody else make your own decisions. So I don't, I joined Facebook to try to reach more people last year when I did this campaign, but I hate being on Facebook. I hate contributing to this thing, but I'm also at the same time thankful that I can keep reaching people. So not to get off too much of a tangent, but this is just, you know, where it's going right now. And he gives a couple of examples here. He says, so if you're driving on a winding coastal or mountain road, this device would know and could possibly access your car's various electronic systems to turn them off. Remotely turning off cars, remote detonation of cars, huh? Is anybody thinking of Michael Hastings? It might access your car's circuit board that governs your power steering when you're driving in an area of winding roads, or it might be able to just shut down your car's electrical system and remotely lock all your doors. The police no longer have to engage in highway chases. Or if we're driverless cars, then they can just lock you in the car and take you straight to the police station because they overheard you saying crazy conspiracy theories in your car because they're always listening, right? And you just said some bad think and some anti-government things. And we heard all about that, you COVID denier, you science denier, you anti-vaxxer. And now the driverless car, the autonomous vehicle is going to take you straight to the police station for your reconditioning. This new technology would allow the government to access the data on your Fitbit device while you're jogging. Or worse, maybe even interfere with the signal on your heart's pacemaker device. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's honestly, this is real. And it says, and with 5G wireless, the tracking might be extended well beyond the range of a Bluetooth device. Add 5G broadband wireless to Signal Frames technology, and then wed that to the capability of machine learning and artificial intelligence, and you get an instant processing of massive amounts of data on any targeted person or gathering. So I recommend going to find this article on Counterpunch or just check out the Conscious Resistance. Look at our link there. Again, the company is called Signal Frame. So if you're one of these researchers, you want to dig, look up the company Fusus, F-U-S-U-S. Look up the company Signal Frame. Fusus and Signal Frame. Okay, so the rest of the show is going to be dedicated to COVID-related news. And this is really important stuff. I've been trying to really emphasize, as with the title for today's show, We Were Born for This Moment, guys, that we're facing a lot of really difficult times right now, but we got to step up to the plate. I mean, you do whatever you want. I'm not here to tell anybody how to live their life, but I know that I am here for this reason. I do believe that I was born for this moment, to be here, to be a part of this larger, you know, this larger effort to change humanity, to push us in a positive direction. Because as I was mentioning, there are people, the World Economic Forum and others, who are pushing for the Great Reset. They're pushing for remaking the world in the vision that they want. And they are right that the world is unsustainable. They're correct in that regard. But their solutions are centralized, are top down. It's not bottom up. It's all about control. So if we recognize that there are problems in the world, we're either going to stand by passively and these crazy psychopaths are going to steer us into insanity and control and authoritarianism and lack of freedom and liberty, or we are going to step up to the plate and say, hey, I want to take an active role in the direction of this world and of my family and the future generations, the seven generations and beyond. If you want to take an active role, then now is the time, guys. Like it's a beautiful time. There's a lot of crazy shit happening right now, but we are here for this moment. And either we are going to make a difference by, for one, spreading information, spreading awareness. Shout out to all the moms and the dads and the activists who've been out there doing banner drops about the fact that the COVID vaccine manufacturers are exempt from liability, that they've been indemnified and they get away with whether your children are hurt or not. We're going to talk about all that and more. Shout out to the people who are trying to talk to their families and friends and have a heart-to-heart conversation with them about what their concerns are and where the direction we're headed. Shout out to everybody that is really making an effort right now to get yourself prepared, you and your family and your friends prepared in your community, your freedom cell, your neighborhood, prepared for anything. You need to have backup supply of food in case these lockdowns do continue as it seems, or if that doesn't happen, if you don't plan on getting the vaccine, you need to really start thinking about What is the decision you're going to make when you find out that your place of work, your source of income, says that you have to get one of these vaccines or get a test or something to prove you can come in? Are you going to then choose to do it? Or do you have a backup plan? Do you have money saved? Do you have an alternative way to make money in the counter economy outside of their grid, outside of their technocracy? Right now, they're talking about the idea of people being barred from going into restaurants and bars and sports events if they don't have the COVID vaccine or the immunity passport or whatever. Have you thought about what's going to happen if they say you can't get into your grocery store to get your food like you normally do if you don't have this vaccine or if you don't have an immunity passport? Because if you're not thinking about these things, guys, then I'm not sure you're actually getting prepared for what is like literally right here on the horizon. The vaccines are being distributed by next Tuesday in the UK and shortly after that in the next coming weeks in the US. The next two important dates in the US are the 10th and the 17th. Those are when there will be more decisions about approving Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines. And then if General Perna of Operation Warp Speed is keeping his word, then within 24 hours of that emergency use authorization approval, they will begin distributing the vaccines around the countries. And as we heard last week, the CDC has voted to give them to healthcare workers, but also to folks in retirement communities and elderly communities and nursing homes. Those are the people that they're going to try to push these vaccines on first. So this is right on the horizon. And if you're trying to protect your family and you know for a fact, like you're not even sort of contemplating if you're going to take it or not, if you know like this is not for you and your family, then you need to be asking yourself, how are you going to thrive in this crazy world where they are trying to push immunity passports and all these things? That's what I want you to focus on tonight. But right now, let's go ahead and catch up on some of the important news related to COVID. I'm going to hit about six stories that you may or may not have heard recently, but I think that these are some of the most important points to hit right now. And then I've also got a list of questions that you can share with family and friends who are skeptical about why you don't want to take this vaccine. So this is being reported by pjmedia.com. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was actually about a week ago. Johns Hopkins University, they put out their newsletter. And then in their newsletter, they basically said that all deaths are basically equal, that there are not actually more deaths related to COVID, as we've been told, that there are about equal amount of deaths when all things are considered. And that came out in their newsletter. And people were like, hey, look at this. This is what some of us have been saying. It's being confirmed. And then they retracted it. They deleted the post and they basically, took it down. And they put out a statement saying, we're sorry if this contributed to the spread of misinformation. So I'll just read here. Conventional wisdom is that COVID-19 has caused thousands of deaths in the United States and nearly 1.5 million worldwide. This perception was directly challenged by an article published by Johns Hopkins University on November 22nd. The article was later retracted, quote, because it was being used to support false and dangerous inaccuracies about the impact of the pandemic. So Genevieve Briand, assistant program director of the Applied Economics Master Degree Program at Johns Hopkins University, critically analyzed the impact that COVID-19 had on U.S. deaths. According to Briand, the impact of COVID-19 on the deaths in the United States can be fully understood by comparing it to the number of total deaths in the country. The article claimed that, quote, in contrast to most people's assumptions, the number of deaths by COVID-19 is not alarming. In fact, it has relatively no effects on the deaths of the United States. Then that's what the article says, and it should come to as no surprise that it was retracted within days. Of course, people have backed it up on waybackmachinearchive.org. So they go on to basically talk about how she retrieved data from the CDC website. She compiled a graph representing the percentages of total deaths per age category from early February to early September, which includes the period from before COVID-19 was detected in the U.S. to after infection rates soared. And surprisingly, the deaths of older people stayed the same before and after COVID-19. Since COVID-19 mainly affects the elderly, experts expected an increase in the percentage of deaths in the older age groups. However, this increase is not seen from the CDC data. In fact, the percentage of deaths among all age groups remains relatively the same. She said, quote, the reason we have a higher number of reported COVID-19 deaths among older individuals than younger individuals is simply because every day in the U.S., older individuals die in higher numbers than the younger individuals. The analysis found that the range of deaths amongst the older population has remained within the range of past years. So if COVID-19 has actually had no significant impact on U.S. deaths, why does it appear that way? And so she just goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I will. Again, these are all linked. But this was just an interesting one that got out there. And this has happened a lot. I mean, I've been saying this in recent shows that so much has happened related to COVID. There's been so many things of, oh, look, this, they had to retruck this numbers because, you know, they said that, we had false positives, or, you know, oh, the test isn't working, or this person was dead and they claimed it was a COVID death, and later on we found out it wasn't. There's been so many different stories like this where, I mean, there was a couple of studies that came out way back in the beginning connecting COVID-19 and saying that it was very similar to HIV, AIDS, you know, in its structure, and then that got quickly attacked. Then there was a study that came out, you know, months ago that I covered talking about more evidence for the idea that the US and China were working on coronaviruses and that this was likely engineered, and that got, you know, attacked. There was recently a Dutch study that talked about how masks weren't having the effect that we keep being told, and that got attacked. And now Johns Hopkins says it themselves, and then it gets retracted and attacked. So it's just important to understand that there are so many discrepancies to everything that we're being told, that things are not just black and white like we, you know, like we're being told. And it's important for everybody to question that. If you haven't got that by now, and I'm sure everybody on this audience is listening is obviously questioning things, but I just want to reiterate that. Now, this news here, I invite anybody who's a Trump supporter to try to explain this, why Donald Trump continues to parade the vaccines around as his great accomplishment, as he seems to be accepting that he is going to be leaving office and discussions of running in 2024. He's continued to promote the vaccinations and really say, you know, we did it quicker than anybody else ever said we could do it. This is, you know, our great accomplishment. So this coming week, after this weekend, the White House is going to host a COVID-19 vaccine summit as Trump seeks to burnish his record. Trump administration has invited leading vaccine manufacturers, drug distributors, and government officials to a COVID-19 vaccine summit next week, just 2 days before the FDA will meet to consider the first U.S. applications for the Pfizer vaccine. The meeting is set for December 8th, and it'll feature President Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and several governors and private sector executives, according to an invitation obtained by STAT. Industry officials familiar with the plan for the summit interpreted as an opportunity for the White House to pressure the FDA to quickly issue the emergency authorization for the two vaccines that are being reviewed, one by Pfizer and BioNTech, and of course the mRNA, never before been approved for human use, vaccine by Moderna, as well as to ensure that Trump receives credit for the breakneck pace. So this is going to be December 8th. Today is the 4th. So what, 6th, 7th, Tuesday, next Tuesday. And then next Thursday is when they're going to decide if they're going to approve the Pfizer one. So right before that, Trump's holding a big COVID vaccine summit with leading vaccine manufacturers, aka Big Pharma, drug distributors, and government officials for a COVID-19 vaccine summit. So pay attention to that. I will be posting and sharing about that on social media. But I think that right now, with everything as quick as the vaccines are moving, if you're trying to stay abreast and aware of what's going on, watching these kinds of things and paying attention to them, not obsessing about them, not living in fear, but paying attention to what they're saying and when they're kind of, because they're putting all this right in the open. I mean, that's the thing, is it's all right in front of us, and they're not even trying to hide it anymore. I mean, that's the crazy thing that I really see. And it just, I don't really get how people still think that Trump is on your side or is the good guy, is to be embraced. I don't see it, guys, but I'm not going to get stuck there. Let's just keep going forward. Another event to watch is this COVID-19 vaccines, clinical trials, approval, and addressing public hesitancy. This is happening on the same day as the Trump vaccines summit. So next Tuesday is going to be kind of a busy day for vaccines if you want to keep up. The reason I saw this one is because Dr. Peter Hotez, who some of you know from the Joe Rogan podcast, he's also very well known in Houston. He's the dean of Baylor College of Medicine. He's a big pharma vaccine promoter. He's going to be a part of this. So next Tuesday, Donald Trump's administration is hosting a COVID-19 vaccine summit with big pharma execs to talk all about the vaccines. And on the same day, the Baker Center for Health and Biosciences and the Immunization Partnership is hosting this COVID-19 vaccines, clinical trials, approval, and addressing public hesitancy with Dr. Peter Hotez and Peter Marks. So that is going to be something I'm going to keep my eye on, because they're going to be talking about public hesitancy. And those are they're talking about you guys, those of you who don't want to get this vaccine, they're talking about you. So we need to know what they're planning and what they're putting out there. So I will be keeping you guys aware of that as well. Just follow my feed and I'll post about that. Or if you want to mark that, just go find it on Facebook, COVID-19 vaccines. Go look up the Baker Institute YouTube channel and you can find that. It's scheduled for December 8th. Now, another little piece of news. This week, Trump's COVID vaccine czar, a.k.a. Moncef Slaoui, a.k.a. a former executive for GlaxoSmithKline, who is also formerly of sitting on the board of Moderna, who's getting rich off this vaccine, just like Bill Gates and just like others. He said that there are side effects noticeable in the 10 to 15% of people, which is honestly way too high of a number for me to feel comfortable at all. 10 to 15% of people, there might be dangerous consequences because of these vaccines. I mean, I don't know what else to say to you guys about this, but let's just go on. He said that Pfizer and Moderna's COVID vaccines are safe, and this is what they call safe. Safe with only 10 to 15% of volunteers reporting significantly noticeable side effects. The side effects they claim only last a day and a half. Of course, they wouldn't know if they last into next year because there's been no studying, no testing. You know, there's no way for them to know because they're rushing it because they're claiming there's a pandemic and that this is the end of the world. If we don't get these damn vaccines, then everybody's still going to be sick. And guess what? They've already kind of prepping the people that if you don't get the COVID vaccine and you don't, then it's going to be your fault if we still have to wear masks. It's going to be your fault if the people, you know, the people are still having to social distance, the people are still having to lock down. It's going to be your fault. I mean, that's what they're already putting out there. The message is already being shown. And I would be very wary of this, guys, because this is where it's headed. CDC panel, again, is voting next Tuesday on who's going to, well, they already did this. They already decided that old people and healthcare workers are going to get the vaccine first. Now they're saying up to 10 to 15% of people might have side effects that could last a day and a half. How, what's going to happen in the long term? We have no idea. If there's going to be a, you know, immuno response, then it's going to take some time. If there's going to be neurological damage, I'm not trying to scare anybody or fearmonger, but those things are going to take time. And we simply cannot know that with just trusting them. And we just believing that they have our best interest at heart. And perhaps it's this fact that there are 10 to 15% of people who potentially could be damaged by these vaccines. Perhaps the fact that some of the executives have said that they're not even sure it's going to stop the spread of whatever COVID-19 is. Perhaps because of that, we're now at a point where articles like this, would you be willing to get a COVID-19 vaccine in exchange for a $1,500 stimulus check? How one bold proposal would work. And I mean, here it is, guys. Tie in your stimulus, right? They break you down, lock you down. You can't go to work. Well, you need some money. You want to get on our universal basic income. You want to get on this Fed coin. You want to get on our digital currency. Do you want to get this stimulus check? Do you want to survive? Well, you're going to need to get that vaccine. And this proposal is being discussed more and more. And this is, you know, they mentioned that this is being put together by a former congressman, which is not that important. Who cares what a former congressman thinks, right? But if you go back to this report that I did just a week and a half ago, originally for ICE.media, Ben Swan's website, I did this video, should the public be paid to take a COVID-19 vaccine? And this was based on a study that I found from the BMJ, which again is not just some random publication. This is a mainstream medical journal, peer-reviewed journal. And this doctor says good reasons to vaccinate, mandatory or payment for risk. And he calls for an algorithm for justified mandatory vaccination. He basically says that people should be offered payment at first, but if they don't take it, penalties or costs could include withholding of benefits, imposition of fines, provision of community service, or loss of freedoms. Loss of freedoms. Loss of freedoms. So that was, what, a couple of weeks ago on the BMJ, just some random medical paper, right? No big deal, nothing to pay attention to. You're kind of being paranoid. Oh, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's the media saying, would you be willing to take a COVID check in order, you know, take a COVID vaccine in order to get your stimulus check? It's already happening, guys. They're putting it right in front of your face. This, I'm going to reiterate the question. Do you have a plan for what you're going to have to do for your family to make sure that you guys can survive and thrive in whatever is coming our way? I mean, do you have a way to get your food if they say that you can't even get it to your favorite grocery store without the proof of vaccine? If you don't have those things, you need to start really thinking about it. I'm highly recommending that you put some time and energy and thought into this more than you ever have, if you never have, because it's a time to really figure out what we're doing. One of the things that we've been doing and talking about doing more of here in Mexico, and I encourage you guys to do wherever you're at, is to connect to your local farmers, the farmers markets. Go to, if you have farmers markets, if you have local farms anywhere near you, go to those things. If you have community gardens, start volunteering, start getting to know those resources, and let people know that, hey, in the event that they try to lock down again and say you can't come have a farmers market or you can't come sell your food, I will come to you directly. I'll come to your farm and buy your products so that me and my family can still have fresh, good, organic, healthy food and whatever it is that these farms are offering. But if you don't make the effort, then you're not going to know if that's a possibility. You need to start building that local resiliency, connecting to the local people in your area, and you know, really just trying to get active, because this is what the Freedom Cell movement's about. We're going to talk all about that in just a moment. And I see Larry commenting, do connect to people in Tulsa, man. Check out Lisa in Tulsa. They're a very active Freedom Cell. They're one of the most active Freedom Cells. And we got this comment from Haley, says, find a doctor who you can pay to forge paperwork for proof of vaccine. And I agree with that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm in Mexico, because bribes are a lot more common. And I think that it won't be hard, if it ever came down here, for me to be able to have to bribe a doctor for some fake immunization passport or some fake permission slip claiming that I got it, or just to pay a cop to look the other way. These are kinds of things that we really need to think about. And maybe this sounds crazy to some of you. I don't think it should be that crazy to you, because this is a real life. I mean, we're dealing with real life here. And I do want to cover one other important story on this, and then we're gonna ask a couple COVID questions, and then we're gonna finish with some solutions. And once again, this is episode 119 of the Conscious Resistance Live. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm gonna just show you this quick one real quick on Bill Gates. I wrote this article just the last couple days. Bill Gates and Carlos Slim, right there. That's who it is. Bill Gates and Carlos Slim are on a mission to bring COVID-19 vaccines to Mexico. And of course, I'm in Mexico, so I did some investigating. And guess what? Some of the same players, Bill Gates, Carlos Slim, World Health Organization, Gavi, the Global Vaccine Alliance, CEPI, all these organizations with ties to Bill Gates, they exist down here in Mexico. And this billionaire, Carlos Slim, right there on the right side of the screen for those watching, he is, you know, kind of helping bring that same agenda here. So I believe that's their goal. And as I write in this article, there are attempts here to try to mandate vaccines for children and try to limit people's ability to like punish parents who don't get all the proper vaccines for the kids. So it seems like the propaganda is being pushed down here as well. But at the same time, most of Mexico doesn't necessarily all have cell phones. In the cities, sure, people have cell phones, but there's a lot of the country that are just way behind as far as the technocracy and the technological control grid, that it's going to take years and quite a while to, I think, get the same situation that the US and the UK and others are facing. Like, it's not nearly as far along as it is in those places, which I guess in the short term and more in the long term as well, does give me hope, as well as the fact that there are cities in Mexico where people have straight up kicked the government and the corrupt cops and even the cartel out of their cities and taken their cities back, because that's just, you know, that happens here. I don't see that happen in the US, but I think it will happen in Mexico if things get worse. So I invite you to go check out this article. It's my latest article. Bill Gates and Carlos Slim are on a mission to bring COVID-19 vaccines to Mexico. And if you know anybody who is in Mexico, please send that to them and have them read through it so they can see that they're facing the same agenda in the long term that many of us are all around the world. So please check that out. All right, now I'm going to get to this last couple section. So there's one article that I do want to share from, which one is it? Off Guardian. Anybody's ever checked out Off Guardian, you understand they do lots of good work. Especially, they've been doing great work throughout the whole COVID insanity. off-guardian.org. 5 burning questions about the new COVID-19 vaccine. I saw this one, and I actually put together my own similar kind of article, but they do a good job here, and I'm going to share both of these. Both of these are linked on theconsciousresistance.com. So number one, does the vaccine work? And they talk about that, how they claim that it's 95%, but other journalists have looked into it and shown that the number of people that they've actually tested were way smaller than the number that they're claiming. And that's something you need to look into. Second, is it safe? Are the vaccines safe? And we, as I said earlier, we really can't know, because they've been, despite what they're telling you, they've been rushed. And this is a brand new technology, mRNA vaccine, which injects viral genetic material to generate an immune response, has never been used on humans before. And there's no long-term study, so we have no idea how this is going to, you know, end up and how people are going to respond to that. And the companies, as I mentioned earlier, they have been indemnified. They cannot be sued if you get injured. And that's just how it goes. Number three, what's in it? We don't know all the ingredients. You know, if the ingredients we have been given have been very vague. Number four, who will get it? The elderly. And then of course, medical workers. And then they go on to talk about that. And the last question they ask, will it become mandatory? And that is a question many of us are asking all around the world. That is coming from offguardian.org. I put this together, though, I think is a little more thorough. This is 6 questions we should all ask about the COVID-19 vaccines. You can find this on theconsciousresistance.com. The rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines have already begun around the world, but there are still important questions we should be considering prior to taking any of these vaccines. So let's ask some basic questions, and please share this list with your friends. And if you have any questions, comment, guys, wherever you're watching from, whether you're watching on Float, DLive, or Facebook, and I will share those questions with everybody here. So number one, why is the media ignoring reports that four of the vaccines could cause HIV in some people? And that is, all these are linked, so I'm not making any of these up. Go check them out for yourself. Why is the media ignoring the reports of spinal injury from at least one of the vaccine? And how do we know that there aren't more that have been covered up? Why is the media ignoring the Pfizer and Moderna executives stating that they are not even sure that the vaccines will stop the spread of COVID-19? That's a true statement from both Pfizer and Moderna, saying that they think it's going to work, they think it's going to stop the spread, but they really don't know. And number four, will those who receive the COVID vaccines shed the disease and make other people sick, which is also a very real possibility. Once all these people are going getting vaccinated with these new vaccines and they're running around, it might be dangerous for those of us who are already healthy and not getting vaccinated to be around these people who are going to be out there shedding diseases or shedding, you know, coronavirus or whatever is in these vaccines. Why is the media ignoring the immunity, also known as indemnity, given to vaccine manufacturers in the event that you or your family are injured? And I have two links right there if you want to see that. Number six, why are governments considering preventing freedom of movement without proof of vaccination for something with a 99% survival rate? Why? Why are they considering doing all these things for something with such a low rate? Why, guys? Where does this drive come from? What is this all about? Clearly, it's not about keeping us healthy. Clearly, this has been overblown by the media, and you're not a conspiracy theorist for questioning you. Don't let these people gaslight you and make you feel like it's your fault that we're locked down, or it's your fault because you wanted to have Thanksgiving, or because you went, you know, to go see your grandma, or because you're going to go see your family on Christmas. They are trying to gaslight us, try to make you feel crazy and insane. So why would they be considering these immunity passports? We're looking at the website right now from the World Economic Forum, weforum.org. From back in June, when they started floating the idea of immunity passports and whether or not these things could work. But again, these are coming from the World Economic Forum. These are where these ideas have been starting. And then we see them start getting spread in the media. Now we're at the point where the Common Pass, which is funded by the World Economic Forum and the Rockefeller Foundation, is being promoted for the airlines. And who is the World Economic Forum? The same people who are promoting the Great Reset. And of course, what we are pushing for is a greater reset. In January, myself, John Bush, and several other people will be involved in promoting the greater reset. And on the day that the World Economic Forum has their Davos, Switzerland Great Reset launch, 5 days of events, we're going to have 5 days of an online conference where you're going to learn all about how we as a people can reset and remake things in a way that is decentralized, that respects individual liberty, individual privacy, and can help us create this better world. Not their shill, predator class, insane psychopath, shitty reset, but the people's reset, the greater reset, how where we take an active role in manifesting the world that we want. And we refuse to just be pawns in these people's games. We stop living as if they're our leaders, as if they control us, as if we are here to serve them. The moment we stop living that way, then the moment we can live in our purpose, we can build something better, guys. And that is what the greater reset is all about. We're going to have a website launching very soon. We've got a lot of new projects happening. And much of this is tied to the fact that the Freedom Cell Network is growing so fast, guys. I mean, it's just been so beautiful to see. And I invite everybody who has previously tried to work on the Freedom Cell Network, but it didn't work out for one reason, to rejoin the Freedom Cell Network. Go log in. We've recently approved all the accounts. We have 7,000 people from around the world using the Freedom Cell Network. We now have a dedicated developer who already did this. This looks cool. This is brand new since I've been visiting. So we're constantly getting updates to the website right now, and it's a great time to get involved. And when you go on there and you check out the member maps and you check out the cell maps, you see people from all around the world, guys, who are just like you, who are concerned with the direction things are going, people who are interested in permaculture. Somebody give me a city. I'm going to look at the comments. Let's look at DLive. Somebody on DLive, give me a city, or somebody on Facebook. Canadian. All right. Somebody mentioned Canada. So I'm going to just look up Canada real quick. Let's look up Ontario. How about that? And we'll say that we want to look within 10 miles of Ontario and see if there's some people. This is what you do. You join, you create a profile, you put your detailed profile, be as detailed as possible of your interests, of your goals. And so, and add yourself, come here, add yourself, put your locations. Look at this. We found there's an account right there. There's somebody, Julie John. There's somebody else here. So just in this area, there's three different people that are pretty close. And that's a start. That's the beginning of a freedom cell. That's the beginning of people getting to network, to connect, to get to know each other, to collaborate. Oh, that's California. And dang, that's still like not far out of LA. It's just cool. There's people all over this map. I can just show you the whole map. Let's search the whole map. And Houston. And it's just crazy, guys, how big this is growing. We have people from all around the world joining. We have people creating their individual accounts as well as people creating new cells. And a cell is just your group. It's your hub. It's your tribe. It's your circle. Look at this. This is Houston. Houston's a big city, but there's a growing amount of people. And so if you're interested, create an account on freedomcells.org. Create a detailed profile so people can get to know what you're about and connect to you. Go search. Add yourself to the member map. Come over here and search the cells. You can use the cell locator map. You can just look them up by name. You can create your own cell. You can also click on here on Telegram cells. For those of you who are using the Telegram app, it's a very popular app. If you haven't used it, it's a good place to organize. We have all these regional groups. We have US groups. We have groups in forming in Mexico, Europe, Australia, India. We're waiting for our friends, our brothers and sisters in Africa to join. I think there's some people in South Africa. So this is how we're going to connect, guys. This is how we're going to build. And the Greater Reset is going to be an initiative of the Freedom Cell Network. And we're going to talk about how we can promote decentralization and self-ownership and personal liberty and privacy and mutual aid and working together to build a better world. And that is what the Greater Reset is going to be about. It's going to be much better than the Great Reset that the World Economic Forum has planned. And the other thing I want to mention is we have this initiative here, Operation Underground Railroad. Some of you have heard me talk about this. freedomcells.org/railroad. Please, please, if you're interested in what we're doing here, this initiative called the Operation Underground Railroad or the Counter Economic Underground Railroad, come here and put your name and submit. This is the easiest way to get involved. It says, become a part of the Underground Railroad. Join the mailing list if you have an immediate need for help across the border or if you want to contribute knowledge and resources to the effort. So we are helping people who want to get down to Mexico, and we are helping a lot of people. And look, I'm not here to argue with people about how they feel. If you think I'm running away, I'm not. I'm trying to help as many people who see what's coming and don't feel like they want to, you know, sit in the United States and watch it happen. Other places, some of you are in cities that are really kicking ass and fighting back, and the best thing for you might be to stay there and to keep building in your community. But for some of us, the idea is to get out of there, to come find land, to form, be around other people, or maybe you just want to come visit Mexico because it's a big country, so it's different in each part of the country. But where I'm at, I go out every day, no masks, no lockdowns. I go to the grocery store, I go to the market, I go bike riding, I go to the gym, and nobody bothers me. I just went and took a trip to the beach a couple days ago. The beaches were open. You know, I'm living my life, and I'm watching the insanity on TV, and it feels like I'm living in a different world. So if this interests you, and if you need help, please go to freedomcells.org/railroad. This is the official way now to become a part of Operation Underground Railroad. We're now bringing it under the umbrella of the Freedom Cell Network. And I invite you to check that out, freedomcells.org/railroad. And that is what I'm working on, guys, right now. We are building this Freedom Cell Network. We are working on the Greater Reset for January. And I'm out here in Mexico looking for land to build the Conscious Agora intentional community that I want to build, that I'm going to be a part of. And I'm also trying to help as many people as we can. You know, we want to help people who want to get out of the US, who are concerned, and not even just out of the US. There are people that we've connected to from Australia, from Canada, from different parts of the world who are just looking to connect with like minds and trying to get out of, you know, whatever insanity they're facing. So that's where I'm going to leave things with you guys tonight. Everything that I've covered today can be found at theconsciousresistance.com. If you go check out theconsciousresistance.com, episode 119, including my 6 questions about the COVID vaccine, including my previous report, should the public be paid to take a COVID-19 vaccine? All of the articles we covered and the links to my book as well can be found at theconsciousresistance.com. Go look up the list for today's episode. Now I'm going to read a couple of comments before we sign off. On DLive and on Facebook. So we got some people who are curious about the Underground Railroad. Thank you, guys. Rebel Devil says, it didn't work last time. Well, if it didn't work for you, please try again. And Mary in Wonderland says, I joined the Colorado Freedom Cell. We're going hiking tomorrow. That's awesome. Hell yeah. That's how you build community. I joined Freedom Cells hoping more people in my area pop up, Northeast USA. Just keep checking back, man. Just keep checking back because people are constantly joining. Every time I do a new interview, every time I promote it or John promotes it, we're getting new people who are, who are joining and just getting involved in different ways. Thank you to everybody who's watching. And Michelle says, remind the military and cops of their oath to defend the people and not Big Pharma. I think that's a really important statement. I appreciate that. And we all need to get organized in whatever ways we can, whatever that means for you. And Morris over here on Facebook says, whatever you do, do not take this vaccination. It will kill you, your wife, your children, and grandchildren. And tell your children, grandchildren, friends, relatives, and your wife's brothers, sisters, and their children and grandchildren. I don't know what it's going to do. I know a lot of people lately have been talking about, is this thing going to sterilize people? Is it going to harm people in that way? I don't know. I don't know if any of us know all those answers yet. But we do know that you don't have to be a crazy conspiracy theorist, anti-science, COVID denier, anti-vaxxer, baby killer to have questions about this. So I encourage each of you to really think. I'm just going to reiterate it for the third time in the show. What preparations have you made for your family and friends? What are you doing to make sure that whatever comes our way, immunity passports, oh, you can't go to the grocery store, oh, you can't fly, oh, you can't go to work, oh, your kids can't go to school. What preparations do you have? Have you talked to your family and friends and loved ones about this? You need to get over and stop worrying about whether or not you're going to look like a crazy conspiracy theorist or whether or not they're going to, you know, shame you or whatever. We all need to push past our insecurities, past our doubts, past our fears, and past our concerns about being, you know, looking a certain way or appearing a certain way, and just know that what we do right now could potentially save the lives of the people we care about. If we come together, we can help all people, disabled, elderly, any color, any race. We can help everybody. We can help our brothers and sisters in Africa and in poorer countries. I mean, for example, Mexico is a developing country. They think that they need to get in here and get these, you know, savage, backwards Mexicans all vaccinated up before the anti-vaccine movement grows here. It is a global movement, and what we do right now is going to determine where it goes. So either we are going to simply acquiesce and we're going to get swept up in their great reset, or we're going to come together, we're going to shake off the shackles, and we're going to claim our own power. We're going to reconnect to the planet, reconnect to our hearts and minds, and we are going to build the better world that we know is possible. And I yell and I scream about this every Friday when I do this episode, but it's not just for my own mental therapy as much as it is that. I'm trying to get you, my brothers and sisters who are tuning into my voice right now or who are hearing this and watching this whenever you're watching it, whenever you're listening to this, to know that we have to take responsibility for our lives. We determine where we're going right now. We can decide it. We can push us in this amazing, beautiful direction, or we can stand by and let them take us down a very dark road that it might take decades and, you know, who knows, generations to return from. We get to determine where the world goes and what happens. So we can either get so lost in our own self wallowing, our self pity. We all have problems. You know, I've come from a background of drug abuse and drug addiction and depression and battling self-worth issues. And sometimes those things pop up. We can all get stuck on that sort of doubting phase, but now is not that time. Now is not the time for that, brothers and sisters. Now is the time to say, you know what? I need to live my purpose, and I am here to be free. I'm here to be alive. I'm here to be a powerful, beautiful human being. And I'm going to do whatever I have to do to protect my sovereign self, my spirit, my energy, my body, my vessel. And I'm not going to allow anybody to claim ownership over me, to claim that they know what's best for me, that they know what's best for my body. Even if that's a parent, if that's a friend, if that's a child, relatives, best friends, you know what's best for you. And these people, these insane people that we are dealing with insane people. They are the predator class that is feeding on this predator energy. And they are trying to dominate the planet. They are mining the earth for its resources. And now they're trying to mine our bodies and get inside our bodies, inside our DNA. This is a very dangerous, I think, both on the spiritual, esoteric, energetic level, as well as just on the physical, everyday, holy shit, this is kind of scary level. So please, guys, rethink what you're doing right now. Have some important conversations with your family and friends And please check us out at theconsciousresistance.com. I appreciate everybody who's listening. I saw Yerba Mate Queen says, my email doesn't let me confirm registration with the Cell Network. Email me. If you have any trouble, just email us directly on the Conscious Resist or the Freedom Cell website, or message me on Facebook, whatever. Get in touch with me. I will get you set up if you're having trouble. We need everybody on there to contribute their skills, their resources, their ideas, and to do whatever they can. All right. I appreciate everybody. I'm going to shut up for the night. I'm going to end with my song. I debuted a song this week. It's my my new, I don't know what you want to call it, project that I call 33. It's a hip-hop project, and this song is called Same Mother. So I'm going to leave you guys with this song. I hope you enjoy it. Even if you don't like hip-hop, listen to the words. It's very relevant to what we're talking about and what we're dealing with. So I appreciate your time and energy tonight. I will see you after the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to your family. Get prepared. Do what you can. Opt out of this insanity. And remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
Check 1, 2. 33. It's that debut shit. I got something to say, so let's do it. Yo. I'm the new hip-hop king, waiting to be crowned. Another election passes and you're still voting for clowns. You think you made a difference, but you're a fake resistance. Keep voting for evil and you might get 6-6. How many times must we play this game? They're washing our brains, they're watching us kill ourselves. We're under siege, and I don't mean to offend, but if you hate free speech, you can get fucked. You can get fucked with the rest of the mob and all those who treat politicians like gods. You need to wake up, join the fight against evil. And I don't mean Trump or the average people. I'm talking about the hidden hand, the deep estate, the ones you don't see who are robbing from your plate. The banksters, gangsters, murderers and mobsters were being ruled by psychopathic monsters. The pedos in the Vatican, they're doing it again. The CIA, the NSA and the Zionist plan. They got the plan to keep you trapped in fear. Can't you see, my friends, the Great Reset is here. And I'm not talking about some rich man's plan. I'm saying we can manifest the promised land. If we stop hating and killing each other, maybe we'll see that we have the same mother. Yo, I'm just trying to keep it real. That's pretty much all I can do. I'm just trying to say that we have the power within us to do anything we want. So let's do this again. Yo. Slow down before I scare you away. I don't wanna lose you before you hear what I have to say. I ain't got no diamonds, I ain't got no drip. All I got's my body, soul, and tribe I roll with. Only thing I do is spit the truth and bend reality. It's a neat trick, manifest and you'll see. Anything you want, you can have health or wealth. It's time to wake up and love yourself. Love yourself, release the demons you befriended. They're gonna hold you down, man, it's an early ending. I promise you, we deserve better than we seem. It's up to us to overcome and create our dreams. I've been to the bottom, met my demons and fought them. Hiding from my trauma, man, drugs, I got them. Bury my pain in dope till I can't stand up. I might be puking, but keep pouring in my cup. But that wasted life is just a waste of life. We need to wake up and see we are made of light. I know in my heart, we're here for a purpose. I can hear the truth rising to the surface. Don't you see it? The future's in our hands. It's time to find out where everyone stands. If we stop hating and killing each other, maybe we'll see that we have the same mother. 33, out.
This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost.